We're breaking down the latest news out of the state capitol here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last week, we saw Republican state lawmakers send their first bill to the desk of Governor Tony Evers, and they voted along party lines to pass an income tax cut that the governor has all but promised to veto. We'll explore the sticking points here in the state capitol report. We'll also look at what might be in the governor's budget. And later, we'll ask about the fallout over Colin Kaepernick and the Black History Month commemoration. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle want to see an income tax cut, but they don't see eye to eye on how to pay for it. What do you think? Do you like one side's plan more than the other? What would a tax cut like this mean for you? Let us know at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White is the Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and a co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's look at this income tax cut. While Republicans say they're helping meet a campaign promise, it looks like it's doubtful the governor will sign it. What's going on?
So the main problem here with the governor signing it is that he has his own tax proposal, and it's fairly substantially different from the one that Republicans passed last week. The biggest difference between the two plans is how they're paid for, but that's a pretty big sticking point because the ways that they're paid for represent real fundamental differences between Democrats and Republicans in the state capitol. The governor says that he wants to pay for his tax cut by rolling back this tax credit for manufacturers in Wisconsin. And this is a tax credit that was created under former Governor Scott Walker. It's something that Republicans really believe in as a way to spur the economy, to help support job creators. And they view the governor's rolling back of this tax credit as essentially a tax increase on these job creators. And they say there's no way that we're going to back any form of a tax increase. Now, after this Republican plan passed the state legislature last week, Governor Evers put out a statement and said, quote, "I made a promise to the people of our state that I would cut taxes by 10% for the middle class and that I'd do it in part by rolling back handouts to millionaires and giving that money back to Wisconsin families." So you can see that there's a very fundamental disagreement here on this tax cut, and that's why we're kind of doubtful the governor's going to sign this.
Right. So it looks like the rollback for manufacturers, that's a non-starter for Republicans. And Governor Evers has his own way of funding this. What is Governor Evers' approach to, or I'm sorry, what is the Republican approach to funding this tax cut?
So the Republican approach is using state money that's already in existence. So they're not raising any new revenues. They're not doing anything. They're just pulling from this pot of money that actually rolled over from the last state budget. So they say that, you know, they're not raising taxes to implement their plan, that they're using this existing state money. Now, Democrats, including the governor, have a problem with using that existing pot of state money because it's a one-time rollover from the previous budget. And they say, how are we going to continue to fund this tax cut years and years into the future when we don't know if we're going to have this same size of a pot of money that's unused for every budget cycle? So they're calling that very irresponsible. They're calling it, just not looking ahead, just not planning ahead in a way that's necessary for state government. Now, the Republican comeback to that is there are lots of things that we fund in a current budget that we don't know how we're going to pay for in later budgets. We figure everything out year to year, or every 2 years to every 2 years in Wisconsin.
So what has the governor or other lawmakers said about any room for compromise?
So there has been a little bit of discussion about finding another revenue source for one of these. I mean, obviously, the two revenue sources that are being discussed by each side are sort of non-starters for the other. So you'd have to come up with sort of an option C that hasn't been talked about before. Now, I know that some of the leaders in the legislature and the governor have said, we're looking for compromise. We're trying to find bipartisan compromise in the state legislature these days. We really believe we need to do that if we're going to get things done. But I personally haven't heard of any sort of concrete examples of that option C at this point. Now, maybe that'll happen during the upcoming state budget negotiations.
We're talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about the activities of the legislature during this edition of the State Capitol Report. And we want to hear from you. What do you want to see come out of Governor Evers' forthcoming budget at the end of the month? What does your community need from this budget? Share your hopes, your needs at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, Governor Evers' budget address is set for February 28th, and in the lead up to it, we're hearing more and more about what we may see from the Evers administration, little hints here and there. One signal came in last week on what we might see on transportation. Is there a chance for a gas tax hike?
There is, and that's something that we've definitely had our eye on throughout the gubernatorial campaign. That's something that Governor Evers said should be considered an option as we look at ways to fund our roads. He said all options should be on the table. It's actually something that he took a little bit of heat for during the gubernatorial campaign. Now there's a task force that the governor has assembled to talk about transportation and possible ways to increase road funding in Wisconsin. The head of that task force last week signaled that a gas tax is certainly something that they've talked about. The governor affirmed that. So we don't have any concrete numbers as of right now. I think that's something, obviously, that we'll get at the very latest in the governor's budget proposal. But we definitely think part of that is going to be a gas tax increase.
What do we know about what Republican lawmakers, Republican leaders want to see when it comes to funding roads?
We know that Assembly Republicans are potentially on board with a gas tax increase. They were on board with that during the last budget. But Governor Walker kind of put the brakes on that. He wanted a corresponding tax cut if they were going to raise the gas tax. There was a little bit of opposition in the state Senate that wasn't there in the assembly. So that broke down a little bit in terms of the gas tax last time around. Now, Republican leaders now during this session are reaffirming a commitment to tolling. And they say that they're open to creating tolling across Wisconsin to help pay for road projects. Now, that's something that Governor Evers has said he probably won't be including in this budget. That's something that would take a couple years to implement, a few years for revenues to start coming in. And he says we need to work on more immediate solutions to the road funding problem.
Well, let's turn to education here for a moment. Governor Evers said he will fully fund a tuition freeze for University of Wisconsin students. And historically, what did we see from former Governor Scott Walker's administration on this issue?
So Governor Walker first froze tuition for in-state undergraduate students at the UW system in 2013. And they've continued that freeze in every budget since 2013. The difference between what Governor Evers says he's going to do and what Governor Walker did in each of those budgets and the legislature is that Governor Evers says he's going to, quote unquote, fund the freeze, which is something that we heard a lot about during budget negotiations under Governor Walker. What fund the freeze means is essentially increasing state investments in the UW system, state resources being funneled toward the UW system to make up for the not declining amount of tuition enrollment, but that flat rate as expenses go up, of course, as we know they
inflation
do.
Inflation,
exactly, et cetera. Right. So Governor Evers says he's going to put more state money in to compensate for that tuition freeze continuing.
Talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. She stays with us as we continue the State Capitol Report. Next, we'll look at the conflict over a measure from the legislature's Black Caucus to commemorate February's Black History Month. Have you been following the back and forth on this? What do you think? Should Colin Kaepernick have been included or not? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last week on a party line vote, Republicans removed from its Black History Month resolution the name of the quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, a native of Milwaukee. And remember, back in 2016, he sparked a national debate when he started taking a knee during the national anthem as a protest to the excessive use of force by police, namely against people of color. The lawmaker said he was just too controversial. Where do you come down on this? Did your elected official represent your opinions on this? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel White stays with us. She is WPR State Capitol reporter and a co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. So, Laurel, let's step back here. Wisconsin lawmakers, they clashed. We saw the clash over this resolution commemorating February's Black History Month. So who drafted the legislation in the first place?
Mm-hmm. So this was a resolution that was drafted by the Legislative Black Caucus, which is a group of African-American lawmakers in the state legislature. And they said it was aimed at honoring individuals of African descent and African-Americans who have accomplished big things on a state or national level, things that have helped advance Wisconsinites of African descent.
What was the goal, and this type of legislation has come in the past? There's a history of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. We see resolutions all the time in the state capitol. They're not like regular bills. They don't necessarily do something concrete. They're more about honoring an individual or a community or a holiday. Actually, on the same day that this Black History Month resolution was up, was a resolution about Heart Month, I think. So sort of things like that. Generally, we don't see debate about these resolutions. They pass on unanimous votes and sort of move along. But that certainly wasn't the case with this one, as you know.
Well, let's take a call now. Let's go to Vincent in Platteville with thoughts. Vincent, hi.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Very interesting subject. I believe that Colin Kaepernick has something to say, and I believe that he tried to do the right thing. And this current situation is unfortunate because he has shown himself to take what should have been a rather benign, not benign subject, but a way to go about raising awareness to the country, and he radicalized it. And I'm afraid that that has tarnished his reputation, and I find him untrustworthy, and I think that's what we're seeing now with this current situation, that he's a type of person that would want to radicalize the situation rather than work at it reasonably.
Laurel, is this the worry that Republicans had when objecting to him being part of this resolution?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair characterization. A lot of folks talked about how they believed him to be a very polarizing figure. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, for example, who leads Republicans in the state assembly, said that he thought it was unfortunate that members of the Legislative Black Caucus chose a figure that was so polarizing to include in the resolution. He really thought that they should focus on including people that everyone could agree on and people that don't sort of divide folks into their separate camps for something like this that's meant to honor accomplishments and recognize a community.
How did the Assembly deal with this versus how the Senate dealt with this resolution?
So the Assembly had a little bit of back and forth, some sort of procedural gymnastics with this resolution. What happened was Assembly Republicans came up with their own Black History Month resolution that didn't include Colin Kaepernick, and they attempted to bring that up for a vote instead of the one drafted by the Legislative Black Caucus. Democrats would not vote in favor of bringing that resolution up. They wanted to vote on the other one. So there was a little bit of an impasse there. They moved on to debate about the tax cut that we were talking about earlier, kind of put this on the back burner, and then came back at the tail end of the session day with a compromise that had been struck between Republican leaders and Democrats for a resolution that was considered to be kind of drafted jointly but didn't include Colin Kaepernick. That resolution passed on a unanimous vote, but that unanimous vote didn't last for very long because a number of Democratic lawmakers, I believe every Democratic lawmaker in the Assembly, chose between the evening after that bill was passed and into the next morning to go ahead and change their vote from a yes to a no, saying that that compromise really shouldn't have been struck, that Republican leaders shouldn't have had quite so much power and input in who the Legislative Black Caucus wanted to honor in this resolution. So there was a lot of high profile back and forth there. There was some national coverage of that debate, and that kind of set the stage for the state Senate debate the next day, where we saw that disagreement and a refusal to draft sort of a compromise resolution from the very beginning. And essentially, there was a party line vote with Democrats voting against and Republicans voting in favor of that resolution that doesn't include Kaepernick. So it did pass, but not with any Democratic support.
Let's go to Steve now in Sun Prairie with thoughts on this. Steve, good morning.
Morning. Yeah, it just screams of the Democrats trying to play identity politics. I mean, Colin Kaepernick probably would have gotten more votes as an act of condemning him and his behavior, actually more his behavior than him. And the fact that the Democrats would use this as an issue is just another way of them using identity politics to divide.
So what about identity politics here, and where do we go from here on this resolution? What's next?
So what's interesting about these resolutions is that they're not like other bills that have to be signed by the governor. So essentially, this is the end of the road for this particular resolution, unless lawmakers decide to bring it up again in a different form. I would venture to say we're going to have a similar debate potentially next February. So I don't think this is a debate that's going to go anywhere anytime soon, but there aren't any sort of practical steps or practical things that need to happen with this particular resolution looking forward.
Very quickly, let's look at the Supreme Court race. You've been covering the lead up to the April 2nd Supreme Court race for Justice Shirley Abrahamson's seat, and the candidates are Appeals Court Judge Brian Hagedorn and Chief Appeals Court Judge Lisa Neubauer. Both sit on the Waukesha-based District 2 Court of Appeals, and there's been some concerns from liberal advocacy groups regarding Hagedorn about a school to be helped he helped found and is a board member for. Mm-hmm. So what is happening there?
So this is the Augustine Academy, which is located in the Milwaukee suburbs. I believe it's Delafield. And Hagedorn, as you said, has been a part of the founding of this school and sits on the board of directors. The reason this has become a bit controversial is it's a Christian school, and they have a code of conduct that bars teachers, parents, and students from participating in same-sex relationships. Their charter, which states their values, also has some language that's strongly against transgender individuals. And so these liberal advocacy groups are saying that a judge shouldn't be so associated with a group that has these strong social stances. They said because of that, Judge Hagedorn can't be trusted to be unbiased on the bench.
How has Hagedorn responded to these concerns?
So he essentially says that he can separate his personal beliefs and his values and his religious beliefs from his legal work, that he should be ruling on what the law is, not what he believes the law should be. And this is something that's come up frequently in judicial races in Wisconsin, sort of the personal ideology of individuals running for the bench and how they might or might not be able to separate that from their rulings.
Well, April 2nd will be here, you know, before we know it. What are you watching next when it comes to this race?
So we're just keeping a close eye on it. Obviously, fundraising, that's a way to look at how much public support these individuals are getting. We'll keep an eye on that and getting more from each of these candidates in terms of what their judicial philosophy is. And looking forward, this is obviously a very important thing. The makeup of the state Supreme Court is something that a lot of folks have their eye on, just as people looked at the makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court during the presidential race. So this is a very important election, and one that I'm sure we're going to be talking about even as budget negotiations begin in the Capitol, which certainly takes a lot of our time and energy as well.
Well, and quickly here, as we look at a budget presented by Governor Evers at the end of the month, what are you going to be watching for as the weeks here tick down to February 28th?
Governor Evers is rolling out more of his state budget than Governor Walker did in the past. We're getting more bits and pieces here and there. As we heard a little bit earlier in the newscast, he's talking about marijuana legalization today. That's going to be part of the state budget. He's been rolling out initiatives that have to do with rural dental care and clean drinking water across Wisconsin. So I think we're keeping a really close eye on what his next proposal is going to be that he floats for the state budget. And really, as this sort of slow rollout happens, we're able to take a more in-depth look at the pieces as they start to come together. So we're looking forward to doing that.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she is co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Up next, it is news, and we're talking two sides of the so-called dark store loophole, one against it and one that says the loophole isn't even a loophole. It's dark store theory and your thoughts on it at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network.